Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. We read in the gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right side and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The King will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. What are we confessing when we speak those words of the Apostles' Creed? The general theme for this Sunday of the church year is Last Judgment. Our Savior teaches us about that great day with His parable of the sheep and the goats. This parable forms part of Jesus' discourse as an answer to His disciples' question on Tuesday of Holy Week, Tell us when this will happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? The disciples asked that question immediately because Jesus had told them that one day the temple would be destroyed. The larger application, of course, is the end of all things created. As we sing in the hymn, Great God, what do I see and hear in Christian worship? On that great day, God will gather before His Son, Jesus Christ, all the living and all the dead who have been raised. How that is even possible is not for us to know. We do know that God's Word does not lie, and so it is going to happen. All humanity, from Adam and Eve to the last people who are living on earth when Jesus Christ comes again, whether they are living at that time or have been raised from the dead, will on last judgment stand at Jesus' side. Stand there to hear the final verdict, either salvation in heaven or eternal damnation in hell. As we heard in our epistle lesson this morning, we cannot, and it is not for us to know the times or the dates when this is going to happen. Jesus wants us always to be ready when the trumpet sounds. Ready, waiting for Him in faith, so that we will stand on His right side. On that great day, we don't want to be on Jesus' wrong side. We want to be on His right side. Then, we will be glad when that day comes. We will all, with the living and the dead, stand at Jesus' side. But, on which side? You see, first of all, that Jesus will come again in glory to make that judgment. And secondly, that Jesus' judgment that He makes will be based on faithful evidence. This is a perfect put yourself in this picture moment. Each of us can say, there I am. Whether I was living when Jesus returned, or whether I was raised from the dead at the sound of the trumpet. All people who are living when Jesus comes again are at His side. The graves and the seas and even the air into which people have had their ashes scattered are now empty of death. And all who have died once again are living. Jesus will come from there, from heaven, to judge the living and the dead who have now risen from their graves. There in that picture, we see next to us our Savior, both God and man, Jesus Christ, sitting on His glorious throne of majesty and glory. He is surrounded by countless bands, all the holy angels surrounding Him. This is picture language, but it is a picture of judgment that is true. It is a true picture of what is going to take place on that great day. The Son's Father has appointed Him to be the judge. And He will come again in glory for that judgment. He, and He alone, will make the judgment upon which side, His right or His left, that we will stand. The King in the parable, of course, is our King, our eternal King, Jesus Christ, and He does the dividing. Notice that the King doesn't ask, would you like to be a sheep or a goat? What do you think you are? Do you think you're a sheep or do you think you're a goat? That decision is not left up to humanity. Nobody dare claim goodness enough to claim to be a sheep and stand at Jesus' right hand. And who of us would ever claim enough evil that we say, oh, well, we should stand at your left side because of the things that we have done? No human being will decide on that day on which side of Jesus Christ I stand. The judge, and only the judge, will make that decision. Because the Lord knows those who are His. The Lord knows who are His sheep, who hear His voice, who believe in Him, who rely on the blood that He shed on the cross and the holiness He earned under the law, who by the power of the Spirit have covered themselves with His blood and righteousness as that beautiful white garment as they stand at His side. Jesus said, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and no one can pluck them out of my hand." So sheep, we will stand at Jesus' side. But at which side? His right side. Because of His righteousness that He has given us by grace through faith alone. Jesus also knows those who are His goats. Those who by their own choosing rejected His rule of their hearts. Who said to Him, "No, we would rather stand before You covered only in our sins. Covered only in our unrighteousness." Not because You didn't forgive them, but because we chose not to be covered with Your holiness for our sins. For those who are righteous in Christ, those sheep who are on His right hand, we hear the decree that we will receive our inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For those unbelievers on His left, there will be only the curse of damnation, the curse of departure from His presence into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Don't think, however, that last judgment is the day that Jesus is waiting to decide whether you're a sheep or you're a goat. The last judgment is the day when God decides on which side you are going to stand, and I am going to stand. The last judgment is simply the public revelation of a judgment that has already taken place. When you and I walked away or were carried away from the baptismal font, God had already judged us not guilty of our sins, as He had given us that judgment of the world that He had earned on the cross. And through word and sacrament, He continues to pronounce that judgment over us in the forgiveness of our sins, that we are His sheep. We hear Jesus' words in John chapter 3 as He told Nicodemus, "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned." Notice that judgment is in the present tense. "But whoever does not believe is condemned already." Again, in the present tense. We who are in faith are already judged as standing as sheep, standing at Christ's right hand. The unbeliever, so long as he or she does not believe, is already condemned, is already a goat, already is standing at Christ's left side, so long as they do not believe. God did not create hell, and He did create hell. Hell is very real. It is eternal separation from the presence of God. It is not only total spiritual darkness, but it is unending physical pain and suffering, the Bible says, like being burned to death, only not dying, only not having your body be consumed. God did not create hell for people. God does not want anybody to go to hell. But God will send those on His left side to hell because of their unbelief. Hell was created as a place for Satan and the other angels after they rebelled against God. And it is also the place for those who reject His work on the cross declared theirs by his empty tomb. But since the last day is a day of judgment, where there is judgment, there always has to be evidence. Evidence that either convicts or acquits. Every human judge doesn't just on the basis of his own opinion declare somebody innocent or guilty. He listens faithfully to the evidence. Jesus told his disciples at another time, "By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." So as our judge, the God-man Jesus Christ, will not judge us on the basis of his own opinion. He will judge us as his Father wants us to be judged. And there's only one basis for that judgment: faith in Jesus Christ or unbelief, which is faith in self. And that faith evidences itself in love, as we heard in our sermon last week. Faith evidences itself in works of love. Unbelief evidences itself by not doing any works of love. And this is the evidence that the king weighs in the parable, and that Jesus will weigh on judgment day. The king lists, not an all-inclusive list, but lists some of the acts of love that believers, his sheep, carry out. We feed the hungry. We give water to the thirsty. We clothe the naked. We visit the sick. We visit those who are in prison. And interestingly, when the king mentions those acts of love as fruits of faith, that the sheep are surprised by that. When did we do those things and for you? Because when they were doing them, they weren't thinking about why they were doing them. They weren't thinking about doing works of love so that God would accept me, or that I would be more righteous, or that I'm doing what God commands me to do, and so he must reward me. They simply did them as fruits of faith, like an apple tree simply produces apples. And they didn't really even think about the fact that they were doing them for Jesus, because they were doing them for the least of their neighbors. And yet Jesus says, "Then you were doing them for me." But the unbelievers also, we might put into their words, "Well, Lord, if we'd have known it would have been for you, we would have done it. But who really knew what we were supposed to do? Who knew we were supposed to feed the hungry, or help the poor, or give water to the thirsty, or care for our neighbors?" There were no acts of love in their lives. And even the things that were outwardly righteous, they did so that they would somehow be rewarded. The king lists the evidence, the works of love from the sheep in faith, and the lack of works of love in unbelief from the goats. And so his sheep would have eternal life, that inheritance, not because of their acts of love, but because of the Christ in whom they believed in their faith that moved those works of love. The unbelievers are damned not because they weren't forgiven by what Christ did on the cross, but because they rejected his forgiveness in unbelief. We all will stand at Jesus' side, but on which side? We will stand on the right side through the work of Christ, to which we cling with the faith the Spirit has given us. The unbeliever will be damned because they don't have that work of Christ. They rejected by faith. And that will all be open and manifested plainly as the works of all of us and all humanity are revealed on that last great day. Now, if you're like me, you tremble, even as a Christian. We tremble, don't we, thinking about standing before the holy God on the last judgment? But what removes that trembling? What removes that fear? It is the cross of Christ. It is His empty tomb. It is His righteousness that is now my beauty and my glorious dress. So that when Christ looks at me on judgment day through faith, He sees Himself. He sees the works that He did through us to the least of His brethren. And because of that, it is not with fear, but it is in peace and with hope that we confess that He will come again from heaven in glory to judge the living and the dead. And then we add, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.